Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're kicking off today's daily editorials with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also writes the Lyons Share website, which I will post a link to below. Now, Dana, we've talked a lot about how you've been playing kind of this both sides of the market, both long and short, different sectors. You're being very nimble, and you have been outlining the fact that these type of markets are really ones where you're just looking to hit singles, not home runs, need to be nimble within these markets. One thing that we've been talking a lot about when it comes to the markets is some of these sentiment readings. Now, one thing to understand is that sentiment readings are not the best timing indicators because sentiment can get stretched and stay stretched for a long time, both to the upside and to the downside. But we kept on hearing about how bullish sentiment was for these markets as really through the first three quarters of the year, just kept moving higher, grinding higher almost day after day, week after week. We've seen a bit of a pullback over the last little more than a month now. What are you seeing in some of these sentiment readings? Have we seen sentiment pull back?
Yeah, Corey, thanks. We have seen kind of an alleviation of some of the investor complacency that was so pervasive for a long time. As you mentioned, at least on the upside, that's sentiment is not a good timing tool for like picking tops. It could remain elevated for a while before it has any ramifications. Usually there's a catalyst and then we start to see sentiment shift and kind of snowball. On the downside, sentiment can be a very good tool in helping to identify bottoms because bottoms are not as much processes as like tops are. Bottoms are more or less like events, like you get emotional responses more so to corrections and sell-offs and crashes and the like. That's when you see, you know, investor fear or panic levels really go to an extreme and very consistently go to extremes right at right when you're pinpointing lows. So it's a good measure of capitulation when, you know, enough investors, I think, give up so that you get that selling out of the way and then you can turn around and start putting in, you know, a viable or a durable bottom. And at this point, we saw, like I said, a pretty good alleviation of some of the rampant investor bullishness and complacency in that initial low a couple weeks ago or last week. But not really, egregious types of fear reading. So I would much prefer in order to have a high confidence in getting aggressive and very aggressive on the long side and playing for, you know, a market low and a market bottom. I'd have a lot more confidence if we saw more of a spike in investor fear and more bearishness in terms of investor sentiment. So looking at things like put-to-call ratios, I'd like to see them a lot higher. I'd like to see more activity in inverse ETF volume. I'd like to see more of a spike in the volatility in indexes and more of a elevated readings in the term structure of the volatility market. So short-term volatility instruments, I'd like to see them spike much more above some of those instruments farther out. So those are just some examples of, you know, some of the things I'd look for in terms of investor sentiment in pinpointing a bottom. They're not, you know, necessary for a bottom. They're not necessary to start a rally, but they are very good. And, consistent markers if you do get those types of readings of good, tradable, durable bottoms.
Well, Dana, it sounds like if we zoom back out from the short term to more medium term, you're still looking for there to be that capitulative move where you see the volatility increase, where you see the put-to-call ratio increase, but you don't think that's going to be the beginning of a big washout in the general markets overall. You expect there to be some kind of a final capitulation move, and then that's where you'd be looking to go long because you do believe there's another leg higher in the general markets. Is that the way you're viewing it?
Yeah, that's what our indicators, that's what our models and data suggest, that we're not on the verge of, you know, a major top, a significant, you know, substantial bear market. So if we saw some kind of a breakdown below the recent lows. I think it would be more or less the beginning of the end of the correction, like you mentioned, leading to some sort of a washout or capitulation type move to the bottom, to the downside that marks the bottom, rather than, you know, an acceleration to the downside of a longer term bear market type of move. So at least that's what the indications suggest right now. And I don't necessarily see a reason for that to change. So yes, a breakdown below the lows and a washout capitulatory move would for us spark more buying probably than selling, as I think it would be, again, probably the beginning of the end rather than the beginning of a more serious longer term bear market.
Okay, so that's still buy the dip mentality, and investors, I guess, having cash on the sidelines waiting for slightly lower prices. What are some of the sectors that you're seeing leading the markets right now then, Dana?
Well, for the longest time, we had technology and healthcare basically leading the way, and we've seen other sectors ping-ponging back and forth and taking turns supporting in that regard. Now we've seen a bit of a flip-flop. We've seen tech and healthcare come off a bit and correct more substantially than they have in a while. I don't think those runs are over, but certainly in the near term, they have been removed from perhaps the leadership category. Now we're seeing things like energy and financials emerge. Consumer discretionary has come to life a little bit. So we're seeing different sectors kind of flip-flop in terms of relative strength as this corrective process has run its course. So just as we have been active in tweaking our overall exposure, we've been active in, you know, kind of playing the shift in relative strength, kind of trying to decrease exposure in some of those areas that are kind of yesterday's heroes, the healthcare and technology, sell some of those exposure in those areas into strength like here on Thursday, and then add some exposure into some of the new emerging relative strength candidates like energy and financials into pullbacks.
Well, Dana, it almost sounds like, and I've been seeing this in some of the articles that the mainstream financial media is putting out, that there's a trend back from growth, like the tech and a lot of the vaccine, you know, related health stocks were growth oriented. They didn't have a lot of earnings yet. They were based on future projections. But now it seems like people are getting a little bit more defensive and going back over to value, going back into those financial stocks, going back into some of the consumer material stocks. Is that the way you're looking at it, as more of a shift from growth back to value again?
We follow whatever the price action is, whatever our models are telling us. So whatever the narrative is, you know, the narratives are always going to follow the price action, right? So whatever the reason is, from a fundamental standpoint, we don't really care. All we care about is what's working, and we want to be in that. And whatever is not working, we want to be out of that or short that. So we've seen some shifts in that regard of late, whether it's a fundamental shift in the economy or with the reopening stuff, whatever it is. We don't care really what the narrative is, because usually the narrative is a couple months behind actually the price action. So whatever the narrative is, we're going to follow the price action and try to stay on the right side of the market and out of, you know, the areas of the market that are either dropping or have run its course in terms of relative strength, and new areas are starting to emerge.
What about seasonality factors, Dana? As we enter the end of the year, Q4 here, we have seen some sectors do very well, and we have seen some sectors lag, even as, again, you've been playing two sides of these markets. Do you care at all about seasonality right now?
Oh, definitely. Usually it's never at the top, you know, the number one in our list of priorities for, you know, investment decisions, but it's always kind of a ancillary reason, kind of either a small tailwind or a small headwind, especially right now, though, as we mentioned, you know, a couple weeks ago when we talked, we are basically emerging now from pretty much the most negative seasonal period of the year for stocks, you know, the latter half of September and into October. And so I think that's another factor aligning on the bullish side, the bullish argument for stocks coming up here soon. Is the fact that we're getting out and we're about to emerge from that negative seasonal period. I know October gets a bad rap, but actually September is much worse. October has been the scene of many market crashes in the past, but it's also been at the same time the marker of a lot of market bottoms, a lot of significant market lows in the past. So I think we're kind of tracking on that type of seasonal schedule. So where we've had maybe the seasonal winds in our face over the last month to 6 weeks. Maybe it's going to, over the next couple weeks or so, it might evolve into a tailwind from that point.
Well, Dana, just as we wrap up, I know that you play both directions on the markets, and we've talked about some of the areas that you're more constructive on. Is there any areas that you've been shorting and any ETFs you could mention to our listeners that they could use if they wanted to do any short duration trades on the short side?
We've been shorting, well, in this correction, we've been shorting a lot of the indices, you know, the S&P, the Dow, and NASDAQ, and like we spoke about prior to coming on, it's been like every other day almost. We've been, you know, covering the or shorting the rips and covering on the dips, you know, just like buying the dips and selling the rips. So some of the other areas of the market, we have been short materials. We've covered some of our short exposure there, still have some left on there, and also some international shorts. The EFA and Europe, we've been short via some inverse ETFs. EFU and EPV would be a couple of those inverse ETFs that we've had some short exposure on. So those have been leading to the downside. I would continue to focus on those perhaps for another leg down. But again, just like the upside, just like on the buy side, you don't want to be buying and holding. You don't want to short and hold, especially on the short side. So once you get these big downdrafts, the big down days, you want to cover some of those shorts and then into a big bounce like you're seeing on Thursday, maybe add some back. It's tricky to play this the short side because, like I mentioned before, those the bottoms can be so emotional that those lows can happen quickly. You can be down and then those things can reverse quickly because they're emotional events. So you got to be very careful of playing that way. But those are a couple of the areas that we have been short. And hopefully in another downdraft, we'll be probably looking to cover most of our shorts over the next couple of weeks.
All right, Dana, always interesting hearing what you're playing and what you're seeing in these markets. I look forward to chatting with you in another couple of weeks, but it seems like this Q4 might be a little bit more interesting than the first few quarters of this year. Dana, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey.